Welcome. My name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the book of Psalms, Psalm 81. Psalm 81. We begin a brand new theme this year, dealing with the idea with God, nothing is impossible. And we want to prove that to you, that there's a God who hears and answers prayer. We have a God who has so much power. The power of the God of Elisha has not diminished. He has not run out of gas. It's never had to be refilled. That God is still alive and still has great power. And that God delights in his children praying big prayers, asking for things that are impossible. God delights in those things. Unfortunately, we just need reminded from time to time that there is a God who hears and answers prayer, a God who wants to do wonderful things within our life. And so if you don't mind, I'd like for you to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to Psalm 81. Psalm 81, and I would like to use this as a jumping off text to go through a principle with you about this big God that we serve. Notice with me in Psalm 81, for context sake, we'll read a lot of the passage. Start with me in verse 1. Psalm 81 in verse 1. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Take a psalm and bring hither a timbrel and pleasant harp with a psaltery. Blow the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed in our solemn feast day. For this was a statute for Israel and a law of the God of Jacob. This he ordained in Joseph for a testimony when he had went out through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language that I understood not. I removed his shoulder from the burden, and his hands were delivered from the pots. Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in a secret place of thunder. I proved thee in the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall be no strange god be in thee, neither shall thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark that last phrase that we find in the book of Psalm 81? Psalm 81 and verse 10, notice that phrase, open thy mouth wide and I will fill it. And I usually don't give cute titles, but if you don't mind, I think this is going to be appropriate. How big is your mouth? How big is your mouth? If you don't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for you being a wonderful God. And as we come to you now, I'm just asking that you would use this message in an unusual way, a special way. I'm calling upon unction from on high, from the filling of your Holy Spirit, for the purpose that you would do something in the message into the hearts of your people, and that they would learn to pray big prayers. They would learn to pray impossible prayers. That they would open their mouth wide and you would fill it and show that you're a God who delights in answering in big prayers. I know that there's many of us who have big prayers, impossible prayers. Maybe there's burdens. Maybe there's something in front of us. We look at it and see that there's no way it could be accomplished. No way it's going to get fixed on their own. Help them to be reminded that there is a God who can do the impossible, who can work. We may not be able to trust people, but we can trust you. We could open our mouth, put you to the test, and see if you won't come through. Lord, help us to establish these principles here that we can see you do something amazing in the upcoming days, in the upcoming months, in the upcoming year, that we would look back and say, look at what God has done. You do it. You do the work. Even with this message here, let your Bible ring true. Let us understand its promises. Let us see the principles here that we could trust you and open up our mouth wide. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we go to Psalm 81, we can see the context of it is that God is recounting some of these histories of the people with the end result here that there's a God who wants to answer big prayers and impossible prayers. And with this, in Psalm 81, we also see in the context some principles that need to go along with these big prayers. If you don't mind, the very first thing I'd like to show you as we go to this idea of answering big prayers is notice this. For God to answer big prayers, it requires obedience. For God to answer big prayers, it requires obedience. Notice with me, starting at verse number 7. It says, Thou callest in trouble, and I delivered thee. I answered thee in the secret place of thunder. Then notice this, as he now is specific about what incident he's referring to now. I prove thee at the waters of Meribah. The waters of Meribah. You say, I'm not familiar with this story. Well, that's fine. Let me tell you what occurs. Remember that God had led the children of Israel out of Egypt in what is called the Exodus. And he led them outside of Egypt through a number of plagues that destroyed the little g gods of Egypt. Destroyed the religion of Egypt as they walked out. Remember as the people, as they escaped outside of Egypt, they went into the Sinai Peninsula. And the Bible says that turn ye into the land. And God was not lost, and he was not a bad driver, but he negotiated the people to go into the Sinai Peninsula, down deep into the tip, and now they're outside of the Gulf of Aqaba, which is an arm of the Red Sea, and now the Pharaoh's army comes. And because they're at the bottom of the peninsula, there's nowhere else to go. The Red Sea's to their back, Pharaoh's army is coming towards them, they're stuck, and they begin to cry, and God has Moses take his rod and lift it up, and God parted the Red Sea. Now, for those of you who need to be reminded that at this time, there are about 2.5 million people with Moses. So this isn't the idea that of some TV show where it just opens up and like a couple people cross. In order to get all of the 5,000 people abreast, 5,000 people lined up in a row and marching forward in that manner. The Red Sea had to have parted about a mile. That's pretty deep, isn't it? To get all those people across. To get everyone, 2.5 million people. So this wasn't just a small little corridor. This is big. This is huge that they crossed and went across overnight. Can you imagine to watch these plagues occur? To watch the Red Sea cross. You'd almost think that there's a God out there who could do the impossible, wouldn't you? And so they crossed the Red Sea. Now, this event occurs in Exodus 17. So before they arrive at Mount Sinai to receive the law, they just got through crossing the Red Sea. They now go into the other side, into what we would call Saudi Arabia. They're now crossed, and they're wandering around in the desert. There's 2.5 million of them, and they start to get thirsty. Now, again, sometimes we don't think about the logistics, but the logistics of taking care of 2.5 million people is pretty big. In order to feed 2.5 million people, it would require 1,500 tons of food a day. 1 million gallons of water a day required to feed them. And they're in the desert. There's no Walmarts, there's no Quick Trips. They have no water. And so now the people who have watched the miracles of God, they watched the Red Sea part. Now they're starting to get thirsty, and God has put them to the test. Notice again in verse number 7, at the very end of the verse, what he said, I proved thee at the waters of Meribah. God says, let's put them to a test and let's see how they're going to respond. You know, sometimes God puts trials in your life just to see how you're going to respond. If you're going to respond by faith, or if you're going to respond like the people here in Israel. You know what they did? According to the Bible in Exodus 17, they murmured and complained. You understand that every time you murmur and every time you complain, what you're actually saying is God is not good? God is not good to me to allow this situation. God is not right to allow this to happen to me. And God hates the sin of murmuring and complaining. Because every trial you come in your life, you're either going to respond by force or you're going to respond by faith. Force carries the idea that you're going to try to make things happen. You're going to work. You're going to get that square peg through the round hole. Pound it in, squeeze it in, do everything you can to make it happen. Or you're going to trust God by faith. You say, how does that carry out practically? Here's something that you face all the time. Your husband does something stupid. Do you respond by faith and say, God, help my husband during this time. Help him to think right. Or do you murmur and complain? Hey, you can believe what he did? No. You respond by force or you respond by faith. And sometimes God allows trials to see how you're going to respond. Sometimes God allows some little things. He knows how to push your buttons. He knows what bothers you. And he wants to see how you're going to respond. Can you trust God? Because God wants to do something to you, for you, but he wants you to respond properly before the trial, through the trial, and after the trial. What do you mean by that? Notice with me in verse number 8. Hear, O people, O my people, and I will testify to thee, notice this, if thou wilt hearken unto me. This carries the idea of being obedient. God says, hey, I want to work with you, but the end result is I want you to obey. Obey. For example, we've given this illustration before, but let's say that Uncle Bob has cancer, but Uncle Bob hates God, refuses to go to church, hates the Bible, hates Christians, hates everything about God. You mention something about Christianity, Bob gets mad. But people begin to pray, God heal Bob, God heal Bob. Why should he? If all Bob's going to do when he get healed is go out and go back and complain about God even more. You understand that God wants to do things in our life with the result of people obeying him. Of people obeying him. So when you're in a situation and you said, all right, preacher said to pray big, but you have no desire to obey God afterwards, then there's a problem. May I give you a practical result that occurs all the time? A lady sometimes will come up and say, preacher, pray for my husband that he gets saved. Pray for my husband that he gets saved. And then next thing you know, he gets saved. Praise the Lord. He starts going to church, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Next thing you know, he's passing out tracts. He's doing all these things. And the lady says, I wanted him saved, but I didn't want him that saved. You see, sometimes we just want a situation better to make us feel better. But God wants to work in a situation for people to serve him, to honor him. And so as we're putting out the principles of praying, I don't want to mislead you. I don't want you to go out and say, God, I want a red Lamborghini. That's an impossible prayer. And you're going to use that red Lamborghini to show off how great you are instead of, I'm saying a principle that the reason why God wants to hear and answer prayer is because the end result is he wants you to serve him and be obedient to him. And that God does want to do great prayers. He wants to open and answer impossible prayers. But there's a purpose. He wants to use those prayers to draw you to serve him more and for others to serve him more and for us to be obedient, to hearken to him. And so, again, God sometimes creates an opportunity to pray an impossible prayer to see how we're going to respond. Are we going to go to God and say, God, I need you right now. This is more than I can handle. I can't deal with him anymore. Or heaven forbid, very few times, right? I can't deal with her anymore. Or do you say, God, I need help? Or do you go talk to your neighbor? Can you believe what so-and-so did? That can't. Do you trust God enough to pray and trust God to work in their life? I mean, it's cheating, right? I go talk to their boss. God's their boss. He could work on their heart a lot better than I can. Can you trust him? Or are you going to come to the idea of murmuring and complaining because you can't trust God to pray and to work in that situation? We come to a second principle here, that not only to trust God with big prayers, it requires obedience, but we also understand for God to answer big prayers, it requires trusting God alone. For God to answer big prayers, it requires trusting God alone. Notice with me, if you don't mind, in verse number 9. There shall be no strange God be in thee. Now the word strange doesn't carry the idea that they're cross-eyed and that they're all crooked looking. The word strange carries the idea in the Bible of something that doesn't belong to you. And so I am, in verse number 9, there shall be no strange God or a God that doesn't belong to you, because God's the one who belongs to you. There shall be no strange God be in thee, neither shall thy worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. God says, trust me and trust alone. That if we're going to have God answer big prayers, we need to be trusting in him. Now, we as Americans, we have a hard time doing that because oftentimes we answer our own prayers. God, I'm hungry. And then we go to Walmart or Burger King or McDonald's and we take care of it ourselves. And so we're usually not in the habit of trusting God and God alone. It's almost like the little girl who was praying for a little. She wanted a dolly. And so she said, God, I need a dolly, a special kind of dolly that you could feed. And we have to change the diaper. And God, please give me this dolly. And her mother comes up and says, why are you yelling? God's not deaf. Yeah, but grandma is. Who was she expecting to answer that prayer? Not God, to grandma. Sometimes we get to the place where, all right, God, answer our prayers. And then we're expecting the mailman to answer our prayer. We run out to the mailbox and look, oh, did the mailman bring it to me today? Sometimes we get to the place where we're depending on other things other than God. God wants us to trust in him and him alone. If we're going to pray the impossible prayers, it can't be trusting in God and for Uncle Bert to finally get things fixed. We're trusting in God to do a work. We're trusting in God to work through. Sometimes we're trusting in God to work in a situation. Can you trust in him and him alone? If we're going to see impossible prayers prayed, that's what God requires. Trust in me. Look at me. I am the God who is able to do it. Don't trust in these little g gods. Don't trust in those finances. Don't trust in this. Don't trust in this. Trust in me. I'm able to answer prayers. I'm able to do the impossible. I'm able to work. Because God doesn't want to share credit with anyone else. He wants it so that way when the prayer is answered, we go up and say, look at what God did. Not what Aunt Minnie did or what the mailman brought or what the government decided to do. It's God gets the credit. God works. And so with this, we come up with a principle that in order to get big prayers, there has to be an obedience to be followed. In order to see these big prayers answered, it requires for us to trust in God and trust God alone. Then we also understand in order for God to answer big prayers, it requires faith. In order for these big prayers to be answered, it requires faith. Hudson Taylor had the motto, attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. That's a good motto. Attempt great things for God, expect great things from God. That had the idea, and by the way, he was a great missionary who opened up inland China, but he said, we need to trust God and step out to the place where if God doesn't answer, we're going to sink. There's no net. There's no safety net. We're stepped out by faith. God's going to have to answer it. I'm going to attempt great things for God. At the same time, I'm expecting great things from God. It carries the idea of faith. So that brings up the idea, where do we get the faith to pray such big prayers and allow Him to answer that? Where do we get the faith? Do we sit here and go, come on, I need faith. Come on, I need faith. How do we get the faith? I mean, that's a very practical thing. Where do I get the faith? Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to show you some things from the Bible. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to the book of Romans, chapter number 10. The book of Romans, chapter number 10. Where do we get this faith? If we're going to see big prayers answered from God, impossible prayers, it's going to require faith. So where in the world do we get this faith? Well, notice with me, if you don't mind, the book of Romans, chapter number 10. Romans, chapter number 10. And we're going to look at a couple different passages today because I want to encourage your faith. Notice with me in the book of Romans, chapter 10. And notice with me in verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing is the middleman. Where do we get faith? From the word of God. It is the word of God. It is trusting in God's promises. We're not asking someone to believe in blind faith. We're telling you to look at God's promises. Look at what God said about answering prayers. Look and see about this big God who hears and answers prayers. If you don't mind, since faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, let's see what the word of God says concerning the idea of answering big prayers. Turn with me, if you don't mind, to the book of Beginnings, the book of Genesis, chapter 18. And let me show you some passages that deal with God answering big prayers. In the book of Genesis, chapter number 18, God has promised Abraham all these years that he's going to have a son. And now the time has come. Abraham is old. He's about 100. Sarah is 90. Can you imagine being told as a 90-year-old lady, guess what you're going to be having in 9 months? That seems to be a pretty impossible prayer, right? Age 90, guess what you're going to have? You've been waiting for this for a long time. Now, Sarah did what most of you probably would have done, chuckled, laughed. I mean, that's ridiculous. But notice how God responds to that in verse 14. Genesis 18 and verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return unto thee, and according to the time of life, Sarah should have a son. But notice as God responds, is anything too hard for me? That's a good question. Is there anything too hard for God? There are some things that are too hard for man. We may have a loved one that is so far away from God, and you look at them and say, they're never going to get fixed. And that's true. They'll never fix themselves on their own. But God says, is there anything too hard for me? God could change them. You may look at your financial situation and look at the bills and look at these bills and open the drawer and have more bills and say, there's no way I'm digging myself out of this. There's no way. God says, is there anything too hard for me? You may have a dream. Maybe there's something you want to get accomplished and you believe it'll be honoring for God. And you look at it and say, there's no way that could happen. God says, is there anything too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for me? So, here was an objection. That 90-year-old lady, she's going to have a baby next year. Congratulations. You're out of your mind. God says, is there anything too hard for me? He says, that's no problem for me. No problem for me. What else does the Bible say concerning this? Turn with me, if you don't mind, to the book of Jeremiah, chapter number 32. Jeremiah 32. Now, Jeremiah has been preaching for 30-something years, almost 40 years at this time. He's been telling everyone who would listen that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed by the Babylonians. And people have denied, people have rejected, but now it's come. The Babylonians have surrounded. They've already kidnapped some people a couple of different times. 586 B.C., The Babylonians are ready for their final push. And so you know what Jeremiah does? He buys some property. People said, for 40 years you've been telling everyone that Babylon is going to come and destroy this whole place. Now you're buying up real estate? That doesn't make sense. You said the Babylonians are going to take people and they're going to transport them 1,000 miles away. And you're buying real estate? What are you thinking? And he says, hey, God's going to allow the Babylonians to take them, but we're going to come back in 70 years. And so to show you by faith, God has directed me to buy some property because I'm coming back and my family is going to own this property. Notice what God says concerning this in Jeremiah chapter 32, and notice with me verse 17. Jeremiah 32 and verse 17, notice what it says. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Hey, this is the God who made the universe. By the way, the word universe is a great word. Yuna means one. Verse means spoken sentence. You know how God made the word? With one spoken sentence. Let there be light. And there was light. That's the God we're trusting. The God who made all of everything. There is nothing too hard for thee. Notice as he goes on the same chapter, verse number 26. Jeremiah 32 and verse 26. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Oh, what great power that God has. There is nothing too hard for me. It doesn't matter if it's the idea of a 90-year-old lady having a baby. There is nothing too hard for God. It doesn't matter if we're in the midst of destruction. Our whole government is falling apart. God has a plan. There is nothing too hard for them. There is nothing too hard for thee. There is nothing too hard for me, God says. Open your mouth wide and God will fill it. How big is your mouth? Is there anything that you could ask for that is too hard for God? Is there anything outside his realm that he cannot do? God can answer that. Let's go on. We want to increase your faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What does the Bible say? Notice with me Jeremiah chapter 33, 3. The next chapter, Jeremiah 33, 3. Notice what the Bible says, Jeremiah 33, 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God is telling this to Jeremiah. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God says, call, put me to the test. Ask me and see if there's anything too hard for thee. Well, you said that's good Old Testament preaching. That's good Old Testament prophets. But surely we don't have that today. That was all in the past. Well, let's see what Jesus has to say about the matter. Turn with me to the Gospel record of Matthew chapter 21. The Gospel record of Matthew 21. What does Jesus have to say concerning this idea that we could pray to God and ask him for big things? What is this idea? Is there anything too hard from God? Did God run out of gas? Is that only for the Old Testament saints? Can God do something for us today? Notice with me, if you don't mind, the Gospel record of Matthew chapter 21. Notice with me verse 22. Matthew 21, 22. Notice this. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, we have to understand, was Jesus telling the truth or did he lie? He said all things. How big is your mouth? Can you believe that God can do all things? Is there anything too hard for him? Can you ask God, believing, and trust God that he would work? I don't know how I'm going to get out of my finances. But God can help you. I don't know what to do with about my family member who's broken my heart and has just turned away. God could work. I don't know about that stinking husband. God can work. God can work. I don't know what to do about this flat tire and I need to get to work. God can work. God can work. Is there anything too hard for thee? God can do it. Jesus said, just ask. Put me to the test. Notice, if you don't mind, the gospel record of Mark chapter 11. Let's see what Jesus has to say concerning this matter. Mark chapter 11. This is good stuff. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11, notice with me in verse 22. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, notice what Jesus says to his disciples. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall have no doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he hath said come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that you have received them, and ye shall have them. When you shall stand praying, forgive. Or we'll stop at 24, but he talks about forgiveness now. But God has given promises. The idea that you believe them has the idea of faith. Is there anything too hard for thee? How big is your mouth? Can you ask God impossible things? Yes, because God is able to do it. How big is your mouth? Some of you in the idea of faith maybe have a small mouth. I could trust God with small things. But God wants you to get to the place where you're open up wide and asking some impossible prayers. And watch God work. Because God is able. There was nothing too hard for thee. Notice, if you don't mind, as we see some more in the gospel record of Mark chapter 9. Look back with me two chapters. And the gospel record of Mark chapter number 9. We have the demon-possessed boy. Remember, Jesus and John and Peter and James had just come back from the Mount of Transfiguration. When they come back, they see that there's a big crowd that's built up around the disciples. And the disciples are kind of in a panic mode saying, we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And they had the demon-possessed boy who came and he said, I heard about the disciples casting out demons. So we asked the disciples to do that. And of course they tried. You can imagine one of them says, all right, stand back. I got this. And be ye healed. And nothing happened. And he says, wait. I'll get a better chance of that. All right. Be ye healed. Nothing. The one of the disciples pushed him out of the way and said, let me show you how it's done. And they all took a turn and nothing. And now a crowd's being built up because, you know, they want to see what's going on. What's all this noise? And they watched the disciples fail. They watched the disciples not able to do what they said they could do. And now this man with the demon-possessed boy is distraught. You know what Jesus asked him? Notice with me in Mark chapter 9. Notice with me in verse 23. Jesus said to him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Think about this. These disciples told the man, believe, we can do this, believe. And they failed. And you know what Jesus had the audacity to ask this man? Believe. Believe. He says, believe in me. Trust me by faith. You know, there are some people who have had their faith disappointed. Maybe they had the faith in the wrong thing. Maybe they trusted in a person, but God says, trust in me and trust me alone. Look at me and have faith. You said, but I've tried to have faith and it's failed before. Look at me. Have faith in me. And if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. If thou can believe, all things are possible. Trust in God. Have faith in God. Notice this. He said all things. All things? Yes, all things. All things are possible. Is there anything too hard for me? Open your mouth wide. How big is your mouth? Does your mouth include all things? All things? Look with me some more. Let's see what the Bible says. The Gospel record of John, chapter 14. The Gospel record of John, chapter 14. Remember in the Gospel record of John, chapter 14, Jesus has pulled his disciples alone privately. They are walking to the Garden of Gethsemane at this point. And Jesus is going to pray, and just a few hours, he's going to be arrested. So he's not talking to the masses. He's not talking to the crowds. He's not talking to the unbelievers, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes. He just has his disciples, his 11 that are left over. And as he's walking with them, he gives them this promise in John chapter 14. John chapter 14, notice with me, 13 and 14. So this is, he's given to his disciples. Boys, I'm fixing to die. In a couple hours, I'm going to be dead. Here is a promise for you. John 14, verse 13 and 14. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. God wants people to glorify Jesus. As we pray to Jesus and through Jesus, Jesus, I need you. God says, I want to delight. I want people to say they trusted in Jesus and prayers were answered. God wants to. Jesus, I need this. Jesus, I need you. God wants to. Open your mouth wide. Anything. All things. Those are big words. Open your mouth wide. Now, we already set conditions. We covered that earlier. But God says anything and everything. It doesn't stop there. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Let me encourage you here. Again, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We're just trying to see what the Bible says. Notice with me in Ephesians chapter number 3. Ephesians 3, and notice with me in verse 20. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. What we're trusting in is the God that is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above. Not just a God who's able to do a little bit above, not just a God who's able just to do what we ask, but to do exceedingly, abundantly above. Why? That there may be glory in the church. God wants it to be a place where people say, that people over there, the people in that church, they get their answers prayed, or they get their answers to prayer. They open up their mouth wide and some of the most amazing things happen there because they trust God. That should be the testimony of a church with God's people. Let me tell you, our God is able to answer prayers. He is able to answer prayers. When you meet people on the street and they have a prayer request, no problem. We have a God that hears and answers prayer. He answers all the time for us. We'll be glad to pray for you. And people say, wow, their God's real. That's one of the greatest evidence we could testify to the rest of the world that our God is real because he answers our prayers. Anything, everything, exceedingly abundantly above. Open your mouth wide and he will fill it. How big is your mouth? God says that he won't just fill it, he'll give it exceedingly abundantly above. Is there anything too hard for him? No. God can do it. Will you trust him? Will you pray? Notice it says, he is able. Oh, I'm so glad that he's able. Our God delights in answering big prayers. Our God delights when we say, hey, I didn't think God would do it, but I prayed by faith, and God did it. Look at what he did. That's the whole purpose of that jug back there. We're going to fill it up with answers to prayer. Look at this. I didn't think God would answer, but look at what he did here. Look at what God did here. Look at what God did. Look at what our God is able to do. He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we can ask. Open your mouth wide and he will fill it. It reminds me of the little boy who was at a candy shop, and the owner of the candy shop told the little boy, "Here, why don't you grab a handful of candy and I'll let you have it." And the little boy put his hands behind his head and said, "No, no, no." And his mom said, "No, no, it's all right. You could do that." And the owner of the candy shop said, "No, no, grab whatever you want. I'm allowing you." And the boy put his hands behind his back. Nope. And his mom's getting embarrassed. He's trying to be nice to you. He's trying to give you what you want. You just go in there and grab it. Nope. Finally, the owner of the shop went and said, "Here, I'll help you." And he grabbed a bunch of candy and gave it to the boy's hands, and he filled it up. And the boy's big smile on his face and walked out. The mother's embarrassed, said, "Son, why'd you do that? He said you could have candy." He said, "His hands are bigger than mine." He knew what he was doing. We have a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Can we get answers to prayer? We can. Notice with me, if you don't mind, our last passage, the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11, is what we often call the Hall of Faith chapter. And then all throughout Hebrews 11, it says, by faith, by faith, by faith. And we always see that faith is preceded by action. By faith, Abraham. By faith, Sarah. By faith, Moses' parents. By faith, Moses. By faith, by faith, by faith. Well, notice with me at the end of the chapter. Remember, we have a God that there's nothing too hard for. We have a God who's able to do exceedingly above what we can think and ask. We have a God who said all things. We have a God who is able. What type of things are recorded in the scriptures that God was able to do? Well, turn with me to the Hall of Faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. Notice, if you don't mind, in verse number 32. Hebrews 11, verse 32, as he summarizes this idea of faith, he says in Hebrews 11, 32, "And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Why others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection." All of this was done by faith, by people praying and trusting God. Notice again in verse number 32, it gives these people, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel. We notice in verse 33, the events who through faith subdued kingdoms. You look at our nation, and you say, "Our nation's too far gone. It is impossible for it to be fixed." You are right. Except for God. Is there anything too hard for thee? God could fix it. Man cannot fix it. It is irreparable right now. But God can do it. Who through faith subdued kingdoms. Who through faith wrought righteousness. Meaning that they saw things that were incorrect turned right. Which included people. People who were not serving God. People who were away from God. They could be turned to righteousness. Not by us, but through faith in a God who could do such things. Open your mouth wide. Notice verse 33. Obtained promises. God has given plenty of promises. You think of Sarah. 90 years old. You're going to have a baby. She obtained that promise because there's nothing too hard. You think of a Hannah. She wanted a baby so bad, but she was barren, and she went and she prayed, and God gave her a child. who obtained promises. I claim that promise, and God, you're the only one that can fulfill it. And God says, I'll do it. Because I promised it, I'll do it. Obtained promises. Verse 33, stop the mouth of lions. That's a specific story. Daniel being thrown in the lion's den. Why? Because he prayed three times a day and he refused to bend. They threw him in the lion's den. The king the next morning knocked on the door and said, Daniel, do you yet live? Did your God protect you? And he says, fear not. He had a good sleep with those lions that last night. You say, well, the lions weren't hungry. Oh, yes, they were. If you read on in that story in Daniel, you'll see that is when they threw the bad guys who made that false law, that the lions ate them and not even a toenail hit the ground. They were just chewed them all up. God, by faith, stopped the mouth of lions. By faith, how big is your mouth? Is your mouth big enough to stop lions from eating you? Notice, if you don't mind, quench the violence of fire. Hey, there's violence around you. Can you pray and God big enough to protect you and stop it and quench it? When people are angry at you and upset, can God stop that? Escape the edge of the sword. God gave them protection. God's, how big is your mouth? Waxed valiant, out of weakness were made strong. You ever feel weak? Can God give you strength? How big is your mouth? Waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the enemies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. How big is your mouth? God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above. Open your mouth wide, and I shall fill it. God just wants you to put him to the test. Open your mouth wide. Now, the intent of this purpose of this message is to, by faith, have you trust God and pray impossible prayers for his glory, for his honor, and not see if this God will come through. He is able. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.